Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out to homebrew meeting, amen, for the month of April. So I would just like to go ahead and, as we do, we always look at 3 points that we looked at last month to get our heart, our spirit kind of moving in that direction before I get into Wilderness Truth for Modern Times 32. But that number is kind of neat because we do this once a month, so that means for the last 32 months, we've been looking at these wilderness truths from modern times. Wow. And so it's just been a wonderful blessing just to put these, you know, share these and just share them with all my friends around the world and that, that listened over the internet. Amen. So there's 3 points I would like to quickly look at from last month and that it will get us pointed in the right direction. Amen. And that first point is God desires we wait in His presence for the purpose of imparting His glory. Now, I don't know about you, but that should make you pretty happy. That makes me really happy. God desires that we wait in His presence for the purpose of imparting His glory. God always desires to give us His glory. He wants to impart His glory to us, but He cannot impart His glory to us if we do not wait for it. We're often so busy, and we're going here, and we're going there, and, you know, we can't even stand in line.
Amen.
At a store, you know, like a food line, where someone's patient, you know, fidgeting, you know. How can we ever receive God's glory? Well, God's desire for us is for us to stand still long enough that He can, in His presence, that He can go ahead and impart His glory to us. Wow. The second thought that I'd like to share from last month is most of the time God works on a lower level with us. We always want to go and get the deeper things of God. And you know, remember, deep is down.
Mm-hmm.
And the lower we can go in God, mm-hmm. the higher spiritually we'll be able to go.
Amen.
Deep is down, you know. And so, you know, we always think God is going to give us this great revelation and the spiritual understanding. Well, God first must be able to work on the lowest level, believe it or not, the Word of God is a very low level of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody now is able to understand that. So God always works on the lower level before He's able to give us the things, those deeper spiritual things in our life. And the third point is God will give relationship to our ability to hold His things. God will give us relationship with Him according to our ability to hold His spiritual things. In Matthew 24, it talks about the master who was going to get, you know, he was leaving, and he gave his servants his goods. He didn't give them to strangers. He didn't give them, but he gave his goods to his servants.
Amen.
And that means there was a relationship with Him. There was a relationship with the servant and the master had. And so if the servant did not have a relationship with the master, then the servant would have never received God's goods. Well, guess who the servant is?
Mm-hmm.
That's us. We're the servant.
Mm-hmm.
And He's the master.
Mm-hmm.
And the more relationship that we have with Him, the more the master is able to give us His goods.
Amen.
Wow. Now that's powerful.
Amen.
The more relationship we have with Him, the more He's able to give us His goods. Amen. Wilderness Truth for Modern Times, number 32. The verse we're going to launch out from is Exodus 33:21. Tremendous verse. Very familiar verse with Moses and his life. And that is, and the Lord said, there is the place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. And you shall stand on the rock. Let me read that again. And the Lord said, there is a place by me. Can you imagine that? There is a place by the Lord.
Amen.
For all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
All of us. We all have a place. Not just Moses.
Right.
But this is the Lord talking to Moses here. And he was telling Moses, there is a place by me. And notice that's a capital M.
Mm-hmm.
Capital M. And you shall stand on the rock. Amen. Closer to God, greater the revelation.
Amen.
Closer to God, greater the revelation.
Mm-hmm.
There is always a place for revelation. I'll let that sink in for a second.
Amen.
There is always a place for revelation. about a half a century ago, the songwriter Clement B. McAfee penned the lyrics, "A place of quiet rest near to the heart of God." There is a place for such a revelation of rest that it changes the life. There is a place by God, by Him, that revelation, it changes our life. The children of Israel did not move toward this place near the heart of God. Now, as we know, we've tracked the children of Israel out of Goshen, across the Red Sea, into the wilderness of Sur, in all of their about. Now God has them at Sinai. There's eight different wildernesses that the children of Israel traveled through. And this is the fourth one in Sinai. And Sinai means glory. It means glory. So God brought the children of Israel to Sinai to show Him His glory. But the children of Israel wanted nothing to do with God's glory. They did not understand. And we saw that a couple months ago, how they did not understand how God was moving and how God was operating. And so too in our life, if we do not understand how God is doing things and how He's moving and the way He operates, then we will have nothing to do with His glory. The children of Israel, they did not come into that rest. Well, Hebrews tells us that. The children of Israel did not move toward this place near the heart of God. It is only near the heart of God that we can find rest. You can go to sleep. But it's only near the heart of God, and that's a spiritual place when you find rest. Their history portrayed them moving more away from God than towards God. The entire 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, which is a wonderful place, their 40 years, they always seemed to wander away from God. But here at Sinai, they withdrew from God. They didn't wander away from Him. They purposely said, "No, Moses, you go talk to God up on the mountain. You go talk to God."
Right.
They wanted to withdraw from God. But Moses came towards God. We must never draw away from God, for there is the place for revelation. And if you wrote that down, put there, T-H-R-E, and then put that in quotations. I'm reminded of Psalms 133:1. It says, "Behold, how good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It is like the anointing oil running down on Aaron's beard. It is like the dew on Mount Herb. For there is the place of the command. Life. Life. The command of life is not in the anointing oil. It's not in the dew on Mount Herod. The command of life is there, in that place of unity. And that's the same thing here with the children of Israel. There, there is the place, drawing near the heart of God. That is the place. There, there is the place. Near the heart of God is where the command of life is given forevermore. Wow. In our approach toward God, we first see how we first see and know a very little. We do not know the evidence of the place that's near His heart. When we do learn of it, and we do not see it, we do not perceive or understand it. Exodus 20:21 says, "Though the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was." In our progressive revelation in God, we constantly move toward the unknown. People say, "Where is God?" I know where God is. He's in the unknown. Matter of fact, I'm going to go a little deeper. God, is in darkness. In darkness. Wow. God in darkness? I'm telling you what, God is in darkness. Wow. We'll talk about that. Some believers today are just like most of those people under Moses' command, afraid of the unknown. Afraid of the unknown. There was a darkness, there was a thick darkness that was up on the mountain. But Moses went up on that mountain so that he could be with God. Where was God? Wasn't in the temple. Wasn't with the people. God was in the darkness. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Darkness is a wonderful place in God. It is the place of not knowing, but knowing that all is well. You get that?
Mm-hmm.
Darkness is a wonderful place in God. It is not knowing what's going to happen. Not moving, not knowing what to say, not knowing what's going on, but at that same time, it is a knowing of all things.
Amen.
Amen. God is not afraid of darkness. Did you know that?
Amen.
Before God made light, He made darkness.
True.
The children of Israel crossed the Red Sea in darkness. The supreme sacrifice of our sin was made by Jesus in darkness. Anything of true spiritual significance in the Bible happened in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? Amen. God loves the first Abrahamic covenant was made in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
God loves darkness. Darkness is a wonderful place. Mm-hmm. It's a place of not knowing where you're going to have to really depend upon God. You see what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Not understanding, not knowing where to go and what's next, and I'm going to really have to live by faith and not by sight. I was in Romania at this old Turkish fort. First time I went to Bulgaria, and it was the most amazing experience I've ever had in my life. And there's this little Bulgarian pastor about that tall. No. Maybe that tall. His name was Janko Zvedelich. And he took me up to this old Turkish fort, and he wanted to check me out. He wanted to see if I said, you know, you're the boss, and I'm going to follow you, whatever you want me to do, you know. And so anyways, he said, okay, so we went up to this fort, and he looked at me, and he said, come on, let's go. And he disappeared behind this wall. And I says, well, I can go back there. And I went back there. And you know what I saw? Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
I said, wow. Wow. And I heard him saying, come on, let's go. And I went, okay. And so I got in there and I saw I had to adjust. Because it was only about that tall.
Mm-hmm.
And it went like this and like this and like this. And as I was going down there, I saw I was stuck. There was no turning around. No turning around. I was going on. I couldn't turn around. My head was scraping at the top. It was even bleeding. But when I hit the darkness, I have never in my life had such revelation. It was like God just opened up my head. And I had thoughts and it was just unbelievable. And I was just standing there and my forehead was bleeding and I was like this, but I have never in my life had such thoughts and just, you know, books and all of, you know, it was just unbelievable. The revelation that God just poured through me. It was just, I mean, you know, every inch of my body was just shaking, you know, and as I moved, you know, I just kept moving, and as I kept moving, you know, the wall went like this, and as I make the turn, then I could see a little more light, and I kept on going, and I could hear Pastor Janko saying, come on, let's go, and I made it, you know, there, and when I turned again, you know, I could see more light, and I looked, and there was nothing between my feet. There was just, you know, just the edge, and I was just walking like this, because if I had stepped here, I might have, you know, stepped off and broke my ankle, you know. I wouldn't trade that experience for anything. Well, I won't say anything. But I will tell you, that was the most unbelievable experience in God I have ever seen, and felt, and, you know, and that was in darkness. God is not afraid of darkness, and we need not to be afraid of darkness. There's two types of darkness. Amen? There's two types of darkness. First type of darkness, which arises from sin, it is an unhappy darkness. and that is filled with unhappiness, and it leads to loss and destruction and death. Loss, destruction, and death. And there is a second type of darkness, and this is which the Lord allows within our inward parts. It is a darkness that God allows within our inward parts in order to establish virtue. Virtue. And that word virtue is translated strength. So it is a darkness not knowing which way to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. It's darkness, but God allows that in our lives so He can settle us. And establish us and build a strength in us that though God slay me, yet I'll trust Him. Now that's powerful. This is a happy darkness that illuminates. The word illuminate there means revelation. That gives us revelation of our inward spirit, and it strengthens it and it gives us light. This is a happy darkness that it illuminates us. It gives us revelation knowledge, like I had. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And in our inward spirit is strengthened. Paul said, "Oh, that I may be strengthened in the inward man." That is where darkness, the good darkness, it strengthens us, it establishes us, it gives us strength in the inward man, and it gives us light. It gives us light. Amen. There is, in that darkness, it is there the picture of the shield and the banner. They all fade. There he is to see that which his natural things cannot portray. In that place, there is no symbolism or no parable. Face to face with God of the universe in the darkness. Communication, there is in the realm of the spirit, not in the words of language. Communication in God then is in the spiritual realm and not in words. Moses stood for 80 days, right? 40 days once and 40 days twice. Mm-hmm. Didn't go to the bathroom, didn't eat, didn't talk. Moses stood for 80 days. Mm-hmm. There were no words. There was no need for words, but there was great communication and there was fellowshipping. Almost nothing of this higher realm can be explained. I couldn't explain what was happening to me in that darkness. I just couldn't. I just, you know, my mind was just, it was just like, you know, and God took a fire hose and just sent this revelation through my spirit. And I was just, you know, it was... And so I understand, you know, that it was just unbelievable. In the darkness, God teaches down to put a few up beyond the known. Cannot explain any further as to know it, and it takes place in what it is. It transcends the knowledge of man. Mm-hmm. There, by the heart of God, there is a place by me, God said. And you shall stand on the rock. Wow. You shall stand on the rock. The standing upon the rock is a very significant contrast. The need of a rock or stability underneath us is necessary. Now let me say that again. This is important. The need of a rock or stability beneath us is necessary. Without, and God would not give us such intense revelation as He gave Moses. Without that stability, without that foundation, God will not give us such an intense revelation as He gave to Moses. So we pray, "Oh God, give me the deeper things of God. Give me this great revelation." Well, He won't give you that because you don't have the stability. You don't have the foundation. You don't have the ability within yourself to receive that deeper revelation. Far less revelation than what Moses had swept away to ruin more than one preacher or the next. If God gives someone a deep revelation of something or of things, it will ruin them if they do not have the ability in God to have that foundation. Even revelation which can be expressed in language was taken by some and carried away into error. And we know that. We know ministry after ministry who received the Word of God, but that even that revelation kind of, you know, got them out, you know, out of track. I remember the first time God spoke to me about someone's sin other than mine. Wow. You know what I did? I went and told him, "Do you know that blah, 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 blah?" And you know what that person did? Never talked to me again. Was angry with me again. About punched me in the nose. It was right from God. But a word from God is all about, you ready for this? Edification.
Amen.
And not notification.
Amen. That's right.
Don't go tell everybody. If the Lord reveals something to you, you keep your mouth shut. You pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the Lord directs you, like Nathan had to go and confront David, you know, you are the man. But a word from God is all about edification and notification. We need something unmovable under our feet if we're going to be able to handle the things of God. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Take heed. Listen to me now. You around the world and here at the home group meeting, take heed. Revelation can destroy us if we are not, as revelation from God can destroy us if we are not built on the solid rock.
Amen.
This is why it is more important, you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Not to have all truths and have all revelation.
Mm-hmm.
What's more important is to have a love for truth and have a love for revelation. It's more important to have that love. It's more important to have a love for the truth and a love for the revelation than to have all truths and have all revelations. Because in Corinthians it says, if we know all things and, you know, we know all truths and we, you know, then we are like tinkling brass and sounding cymbals.
Mm-hmm.
But what's important is we have a desire to have a love for the truth and a love for revelation. The solider the rock in our life, the more of revelation God can give us. The more of a foundation in the Word of God. The more solid we are on Christ the solid rock, the more revelation we'll be able to handle. And that's not God's requirement. You know, that's up to us. The more fellowship we have with Him, the more we crack open that book and we study His Word, the more we have fellowship with Him, the more we take care of our brothers and our sisters, the more we love our enemies. Wow. The more we do all of these things, the more solid we will become, and then the more revelation God will be able to give us. That's dependent upon us, not Him. Amen.
Amen.
The solidity and the immunity of the Word of God is certainly a rock upon which we can stand. And the solidity means the solidness. It's solid. The immutability means that it cannot be moved. It will not be moved. The more of that of the Word of God has created a solid rock in us. We see that in Psalms 111, 7 and 8. The word of His hands are varied and just. All of His commandments are sure. That word sure is translated hind speed.
That's right.
Hind speed. Mm-hmm. It's not talking about it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's talking about His feet are sure, like a goat on a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
A goat on a mountain can walk on a little small crevice. He has hind speed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that foundation does in our life. It makes us, you know, stable and sure, and we can walk anywhere. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. There is somewhat of an echo in all of this in the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:1. I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Wherein ye stand. Again, no stability in God, no revelation.
Amen.
That, you know, I mean, that should hit you between the eyes. It hit me when I wrote it down. And that's true. No stability in God, no revelation. We see today, time and time and time again, to the ruin of the church, of the lack of stability in church leadership, lack of stability in members, and all that does is just leaves the church, you know, the witness is gone, and then it's just, you know, it's terrible. Amen. Passage of Danger, part two. Amen. There is a rock. There is a rock. And God will provide. We don't provide that rock.
Amen.
God provides the rock upon which we are to stand. Amen. Exodus 33:22 said, "So it shall be while my glory pass by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by." Now remember Moses, he wanted to see the glory of God. But he wasn't ready. He didn't have the stability. He wasn't ready to see God's glory. So God said, "I can only show you my goodness as I pass by." And then he took his hand off Moses' eyes. And he saw the hind part of the manifest presence of God. But he wanted to see his glory. But Moses wasn't ready. He didn't have the stability. He wasn't ready to see that. Amen. God will continually shield us from and sustain us in the dangerous present, in the glory of high revelation and impartation. God will continually shield us. He will take care of us and sustain us, because there is a danger, as I said, in a higher revelation and impartation if we do not have the ability.
Right.
If we are stable in Him. Do you know what the most important word in the Bible is?
It's not love.
It's not miracles, it's not any of those cool words. Two letters, matter of fact. It's if. If is the most important word in the Bible. Because if always sets the condition for receiving from God.
Amen.
If always sets the condition. And then the next, the most important word is then. It's relationship. If, then. It's relationship. If. Who would like to eat the best America can offer? Who would like to have the best America can offer? If thou be willing and obedient, thou shalt eat the fat of the land. It always sets the condition for us receiving from God. It's not up to God. God wants to give us His best. But it's up to us. If we're willing and obedient, we shall reach the fact of the land. It's always an if-then relationship. If this, then this. If you bless me, God says, then I will bless you. If you curse me, then I will curse you. It's an if-then relationship. If is the most important word in the Bible. If we are stable in Him, if not, we will fall and fail. We will fall and fail. If then. Well, you know, it's kind of amazing. If that's a condition for receiving from God, God is always looking at what? Are we meeting the condition? What are we always looking at? The promise. Oh, look at that promise. Hallelujah. Look at that promise. God's not looking at the promise. We look at the promise. He's looking, are we meeting the conditions? So you know what we need to look at? Not the promise anymore. We need to look if we're meeting the condition. We need to look at what God is looking at. And then we'll be able to receive those things. Peter was exposed to danger in the manifestation on the Mount of Transfiguration. If he had his way, that would have been headquartered with Moses and Elijah, sharing in the leadership or the headship of Jesus, and that's found in Luke 9:33. But God protected Moses from himself by redirecting him in verses 34 and 36. Again, God protects us and he shields us. Peter saw this tremendous manifestation with his natural senses. Even on that high level, there is a danger and a need for protection.
Mm-hmm.
How much greater the danger and need for protection on a higher level of seeing with spiritual senses.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. One of the greatest dangers in revelations and manifestations is presumption.
Amen.
Peter presumed. Mm-hmm. Presumption is based upon a lack of awareness of the thing or not seeing the big picture.
That's right.
Peter never saw the big picture of what Jesus was doing there. But he presumed, oh my gosh, let's go ahead and build three temples and three, one for Moses and one for Elijah. But Peter never saw the big picture. That is, one does not usually consider that which he does not know. You know, a presumption is characterized like this. It's bad not to know something. Am I right? But it's worse not knowing you do not know. It's bad not knowing something, but it's even worse not knowing that you do not know. Amen? Revelation and manifestation, take heed again, in these areas become a directive to certain people. Revelation and a manifestation of that can be a directive to certain people. A person can easily be misled by this, since the whole picture is rarely, if ever, revealed. God does not show you the big picture.
Amen.
We can't handle the big picture.
Amen.
God shows us a little picture.
Mm-hmm.
And we must not move in that little picture. We must wait.
Mm-hmm.
We must wait for God to expand that picture. And as he expands that picture, and we slowly move. You know, God doesn't do anything fast.
Amen.
We do. We want to build the kingdom of God and do this and do that.
No.
God just wants you just to follow him, step by step. Take your time. Just relax. Take a seat. Just relax. Yep. Just go and take a relax. And as I open up the picture to you, as I open up this little vein of truth this way and the vein of truth that way, then I'll be able to work that into your life. Amen? Presumption is the greatest danger to ministry and to receiving more revelation. Number one danger in receiving a revelation and for in ministry is presumption. To presume to know what God is doing and saying, but be wrong.
Amen.
Presumption always goes up. The battle of Ai, the children of Israel, presumed. Oh, we don't need to hear from God. We don't need to hear from God. We won the last battle with Jericho. Oh, we got it. God, you can just stay at home. We're just going to go ahead and send about, maybe 50 or 60 up. We got it, Presumption. Presumption always goes up. In any area of ministry in our life, in anything we do, presumption always goes up. So remember, the way up is
down.
Presumption never goes down. So what happened at Ai? They went up, and they got defeated. Lost about 30 or 40. Almost got wiped out. Because they thought they knew what they were doing, but they weren't. Presumption is very, very, very dangerous. Amen. Unless we receive and move in the revelation that God gives us correctly, then we will not get any more.
Okay.
No more. You can pray for it. You can beg for it. You do push-ups for it. It doesn't matter.
Amen.
God is not going to give us more revelation than what we can handle because he's protecting us.
Amen.
Oh, God, give me this, give me that. Well, stop asking.
That's right.
You're not ready.
Wait.
Get ready. God will give it to you then. When you're ready, when you have that foundation, when you're able to handle that.
Amen.
Amen. This is why we must depend upon the leading of the one who knows all. When Peter saw all their glory in the manifestation, he thought he was seeing the whole picture. That was the most he had ever seen. Can you imagine Peter standing there with Elijah and Moses? Can you imagine that? What a heavenly experience. My God. Jesus, you know, is shining. Oh my God, you know. This is it. This is, oh man, this is everything. But it wasn't everything.
Amen.
It wasn't everything. It was so great and glorious that there was no thought in Peter that things could be more better than that to meet his eyes. Thus the danger of presumption. God always shows us again in parts because we cannot handle the big picture. Step by step, jot by jot, line upon line, precept by precept. And Brother Joe and I were talking, we get our concepts of daily living from our precepts. And if our precepts are wrong, precepts are individual thoughts of truth that God gives us. And if our precepts are wrong, then our concept's going to be wrong. People say, how did that happen? Why did that happen? Why did that ministry fail? Or why did I sin? Why did I do whatever? Well, it's because your precept was wrong. Because if our precepts are right, if the foundation of the building is laid correctly, the building's going to stand. But if the precept of the building, the foundation, is laid wrong, then the concept, the building, windows and the framings and all that good stuff, it's going to fall. It's going to fall. Amen. When you get a revelation, when you get, you know, the Lord speaks to you, you know what you need to do? Step back.
Amen.
Step back. Don't do anything. Don't move. All right, God, let's go. You and me. Well, I'll tell you what. You wait here. No. Stop. Step back. Take a big deep breath. And look deep into what you're seeing.
Amen.
Look deep. Stop. Don't do anything. Just, okay, now let me, let me get my spiritual senses going here. Let me get that going. Amen.
Amen.
Parting thoughts. Not many escape the dangers of lofty heights. Amen.
Amen.
Not many escape the dangers of lofty heights. Not many individuals can ascend the mountain of God and handle it all perfectly the rest of their life. Boy, well, that's a mouthful right there. Moses failed.
Amen.
Moses never entered into the promised land. Amen?
Amen.
He led the children of Israel 40 years. I mean, you know, but Moses never made it into the promised land. He struck the rock and presumption instead of speaking to it as God has ordered. But God called him his friend.
Amen.
He called Abraham or Abram his friend also.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine God calling you friend? He's our friend, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Yes.
Wow. King Uzziah fell off the ice in God only to lift up his heart because of presumption and failed. You can see that in 2 Chronicles 26, 5, 16 through 21. Amen. Although it is difficult to maintain a lofty level in God, it is not impossible because we know that all things are possible through God. Let us take heed to ourselves. Near Him is always glorious.
Yeah.
But it can kill us. Listen to me. It can kill us while it makes us alive.
That's right.
At the same time.
Mm-hmm.
God kills us while He makes us alive. And that's His idea of revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to kill us. And while He's killing us, He's making us alive.
Amen.
The more that we die, the more He can live through us.
Amen.
And the more we can die, then the more of His life and not our life. Paul said, it is not I that live, but it is Christ that liveth in me. So the more David dies, the more of life, the life of Christ I have living in me.
Amen.
Wow. Wow, that's powerful.
It is.
Take heed to ourselves. Here's the safeguard. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the safeguard so you don't get in trouble with Revelation. The humbler we are in God, the better we will be able to handle Revelation and the glory of the spiritual things of God. Wow. The humbler we are in God,
mm-hmm.
the better we are able to handle Revelation and the glory of the spiritual things of God.
Mm-hmm.
The closer we stand to God, the more we are consumed. After all, God is a consuming fire.
Mm-hmm.
So God said, Moses, right here. There's a place for you right here, Moses. I want you to stand right here. You know what God wanted to do to Moses?
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to kill him.
Right.
He wanted to burn him up. The Bible tells us that God is a consuming fire. Because the closer we get to God, the more we're going to be consumed. That's God's intention, for us to come near Him. Because the closer we get to Him, there, near Him, the more of our life is destroyed. And the more that He lives through us. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love and for your many blessings, Father, Lord God. We thank you, Father, Lord God, for your word tonight. Father, Lord God, I ask that you would just take this word, Father, Lord, and minister to our hearts, Father, Lord God. Minister to hearts and minds, Father, Lord God. And Lord, let us, Lord, just look at these words, Father, Lord God. Hear these words and allow the Holy Spirit just to minister, Father, Lord God, these truths to us, Father, Lord God, so that Lord, we will be changed, Father, Lord God, that you can change our heart like we sang tonight, Father, Lord, so that we can be like you, Father. And we love you and we thank you, Father, Lord, and we give you the honor and the praise and the glory. And Lord, we just love you and we thank you, Father, Lord. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen.